worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for joining us today. This is the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. We invite you to look with us in the Gospel of Luke, Luke chapter 1, beginning at verse 26. Now, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary, and having come in, the angel said to her, "Rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and considered what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Then Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I do not know a man?" And the angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Now indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is now the sixth month for her who was called barren. For with God nothing will be impossible." Then Mary said, "Behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. Now Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste to a city of Judah, and entered the house of Zacharias and greeted Elizabeth. And it happened, when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, that the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Then she spoke out with a loud voice and said, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. But why is this granted to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For indeed, as soon as the voice of your greeting sounded in my ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. Blessed is she who believed, for there will be a fulfillment of those things which were told her from the Lord." And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior, for he has regarded the lowly state of his maidservant. For behold, henceforth all generations will call me blessed, for he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is on those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud from the imagination of their hearts. He has put down the mighty from their thrones and exalted the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his seed forever." And Mary remained with her about 3 months and returned to her house. Again, that was the Gospel of Luke, chapter 1, verses 26 to verse 56. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession. Thanks for listening. Father, thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you for the power, the grace, and the glorious and grace-filled messages of the powerful stories of Christmas. Thank you for the wisdom and the grace that is ours as we take time to read and meditate on these powerful accounts of how Christ came so long ago, and the surrounding events around his glorious and powerful birth. Help us to recognize, Lord, that they're not only sweet and beautiful stories, but they're insights, and there's wisdom and power to be found in these narratives as we read and meditate on them, as we listen to your Holy Spirit as he speaks to us, words of guidance, grace, and empowerment, as we spend time reading and meditating on these powerful narratives of the Christmas story. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession. Again, I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. Our producer is Rick Robertson. Rick is going to share a word of prayer with us at this time.
Father, we rejoice today as we think about your word, you communicating to us in a book and opening up our eyes to what it says through your Holy Spirit. Father, we're thankful for the baby in Bethlehem who was the Savior of the world. Your son, Jesus, came to die a terrible death on the cross for us. Thank you for that, Father. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Rick. And thank you again for being a part of our listening family. We'd like to continue to remind you, please take time to visit the AFA Resource Center. You'll find online features and exclusive products to equip you with tools you need to help you to become a transformative voice in our culture. And I want to challenge and encourage every listener to pray about the idea of purchasing gifts or getting gifts for people that have redemptive value, kind of like us in a similar way to way the wise men. They listened to God for the gifts they selected for Christ, and each gift was actually prophetic and powerful and pointed to who Christ was and is. We too, as we pray and ask the Lord for guidance, the Holy Spirit can guide us in getting the right gift for the right person, a gift that will bless the person, a gift that may point them to Christ, a gift that may strengthen them and encourage them in their faith in the Lord. And the AFA Resource Center is a great place to prayerfully be looking for gifts that can edify and encourage people, gifts that the Lord can actually use to help people come to know Christ, and then gifts that also can help encourage them to grow stronger in their faith and walk with the Lord. My challenge and encouragement to every listener, really take time to pray and say, Lord, show me exactly what gift to get each person you'd have me to give a gift to. And also, along with the gifts you choose to give, I would encourage you to prayerfully consider placing a gospel track in every gift you give away as well, a gospel or discipleship track as well. You know, we give away these Bible bookmarks here at the American Family Association that are a gospel and discipleship track all in one. And, of course, we give them away. So if our listeners would like to get some of those, simply email us at jparker@afa.net. We're glad to do that. But, again, give some real time. Spend some real time praying and asking God to guide you in every gift you give, because the Holy Spirit knows what gift will bless a given individual, what gift will encourage and really help do a work that will change a person's life. So pray. Really spend time praying about those gifts. So again, we're encouraging you to stop by the AFA Resource Center and pick up some great resources and join thousands of others in helping to transform our culture for the kingdom of God. Visit the AFA Resource Center by going to resources.afa.net. Again, that's resources.afa.net. The AFA Resource Center is a ministry of the American Family Association. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession, and as specifically today, we're looking at the topic of the glorious and grace-filled messages of Christmas. And something I like to really encourage believers to do during the Christmas season, or coming up to both Advent season and the Christmas season, take time to read through all these specific Christmas narratives. Now, narrative is just a kind of a fancy word for a story, but the four traditional chapters make up what we would often refer to as the traditional Christmas story: Matthew chapters 1 and 2 and Luke chapters 1 and 2. Now, you could say that the whole Bible, in the truest sense of the word, is the Christmas story. But specifically, often we refer to Matthew chapters 1 and 2 and Luke chapters 1 and 2 as basically the traditional Christmas stories in the Word of God. They're true, full of truth, and full of wisdom and grace as well. My encouragement to every single believer is take time to read all the way through them during this Christmas season. And once you've read through Matthew chapters 1 and 2 and Luke chapters 1 and 2, go over them a second time. Then go over them a third time, go over them several times, because the Holy Spirit will not only teach you insights about Christmas, but the Holy Spirit will also better equip you to be a more and a much better equipped warrior in the kingdom of God. Now, you might think, well, how can reading the Christmas stories help me to become a better equipped servant of the Lord? Well, that's the Holy Spirit's business, but that's exactly what He'll do. So my encouragement is take time to read all the way through Matthew chapters 1 and 2. And then through Luke chapters 1 and 2 as well. And when you finish, go over them again and again and again, because the Holy Spirit has much to teach you, to encourage you and to empower you through these powerful narratives found in these chapters. But also, for parents, if you have young children, make time to read through them several times with your family, with your children. Let the children read. Why is that important? Because, again, they will engage the Word of God in a much greater way many times when they read rather than when you read, parents. Now, of course, obviously, if the children can't read yet, we can read to them or maybe help them and help them to repeat the Scriptures. But at the same time, if they can read, having them read is so important. And understand this, it's fun to read through the Christmas stories with children. One of the reasons being is because, again, for many of them, of course, they may be hearing or understanding insights about the Christmas story for the very first time. And children have questions. They have great questions, glorious questions many times. And it's a good idea, write the questions they ask down, because children ask good questions. And, of course, there are plenty of questions to be drawn from the powerful, glorious story of the coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ as a baby a long time ago in the Word of God. Father, thank you for every family listening. Thank you for every believer listening. Thank you for the opportunity you give to all of us to spend time reading and meditating on your word and learning and growing and drawing closer to you as we read and meditate on the Christmas stories. Father, anoint us all afresh with a fresh anointing that would encourage us to be diligent to do just that, to read and meditate on the Christmas narratives several times during the Christmas season, with the goal of us growing in our walk with you, drawing closer to you, and becoming better equipped warriors in your kingdom. And Father, help us as families to make time to times of reading, make time to read with our families the Word of God, and help us to be wise enough to let our children do a lot of the reading so that they can really get the most out of what they're reading. And Lord, help us to be wise enough to take our time, to not be in a big hurry, to not be in a too big of a rush to get through them, so that they can stop and ask all the questions they want. And help us to know, Lord, every question is an important tool the Holy Spirit can use in that child's precious life to help them grow closer and stronger in you. And Lord, help us to be wise enough to really listen to their questions, knowing that many times the questions may very well be inspired by your precious Holy Spirit. Lord, help us to be wise enough to make time to do this with our children so that they can be enriched by the powerful and glorious stories that we refer to as the Christmas stories in the Word of God. And help us to know, Lord, that not only should we read on them, we should also meditate on them. Really take time to think on the wisdom, the insight, and the truths to be found through every detail of these powerful stories. And help us to know that every character, every individual found within these stories has an important role to play, and that every believer in all the world, we too have an important part to play in the building of your kingdom and the carrying of the good news to the world that Jesus Christ, our Savior, has come into the world. Help us to know, Lord, that during the Christmas season, it's a great time for us to be about the work, the great and glorious work of evangelism and discipleship, in view of the fact that many people may be more open to hearing the gospel during this season of the year than possibly any other time of the year. Help us to make the most of this season to be flaming evangelists in your hands, to point people to Christ during the season of his birth and the season in which we celebrate his birth in a unique way. We thank you for this opportunity and praise you, Lord, and help us to make the most of the opportunity this time to do much discipleship work, encouraging believers to grow stronger in the Lord as they spend time reading and meditating on the precious and powerful Christmas narratives. We thank you and praise you, and anoint the effort of doing this as we simply are vessels in the hands of your Holy Spirit. We thank you and we praise you. In the name of Jesus, we do pray. Amen. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession, as today we're looking at the topic, the glorious and grace-filled messages of Christmas. We'll be right back. Casting Crowns with Gloria. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. Today we're looking at the topic, the glorious and grace-filled messages of Christmas. And, you know, as I mentioned, my encouragement to you is that you will, during this Christmas season, take time to read all the way through Matthew chapters 1 and 2 and Luke chapters 1 and 2. When you finished, go back through them again. And when you finished a second time, go back through them again. There's much the Holy Spirit will teach and say to you and share with you as you read and meditate on these powerful Christmas stories, Christmas narratives. So what I want to take a moment to do at this time is to briefly share with you from an article that we have written that is on this AFA stand. And one of my goals in sharing these is so that if you'd like to email us to get a copy of it, we're glad to, because these are meant to be discipleship tools that will help you in your individual walk with the Lord, but also the goal is that it would be a tool that you can use in discipling your family, and a tool that you can use also in being a brighter, shining witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. So this time we're reading one of the articles from the AFA stand entitled, For Christmas. The title is simply, Four Christmas Stories. In addition to the gold, frankincense and myrrh, the gifts given to the Christ child in Matthew chapter 2, there's much more treasure to be found in the stories of Christmas in the Word of God. In Matthew chapters 1 and 2 and Luke chapters 1 and 2, the stories in Scripture that make up the Christmas story are found. It's here in these four chapters that we find in God's Word a treasury of grace, salvation, and hope that make up the wonderful and blessed story of Christmas. The narratives that make up the Christmas story are simple, yet profound, humble, yet glorious, and full of wonder. They are about normal people who have encounters with wonderful and supernatural events. In these stories, God invades the earth with His peace, hope, and the gift of salvation, His Son, Jesus Christ. During Advent, consider a few suggestions that can greatly bless you and your family's observance of Christmas. Take time to read Matthew chapters 1 and 2 and Luke chapters 1 and 2. And when you finish, read them again. Spend time reading and meditating on them throughout the month of December. Read as an individual believer, but also read with your family. Parents, have your children take turns and ask each one to read one of the four chapters out loud to you. It's good if you read to them, but also let them read it to you. Very often they will get more out of it if they do the reading. So please, during the holy season, make it a high priority to read and meditate several times on the Christmas narratives. Make time, even in this busy season, we need to learn an important lesson from the wise men of Matthew 2. In the busyness of their lives, they were wise enough to put their busyness aside. They took much of their time, money, and energy and effort to follow God. They followed the divinely guided star to come and find the King of Kings. Let's you and I this Christmas be wise men and women, people who are willing to put aside our quote-unquote weapons of mass distraction, our TVs, our computers, our MP3 players, game systems, CD players, and cell phones. Let's put aside some of our shopping and our gift buying and seek the Christ in the Word of God. Now, some believers will read the Christmas stories once or twice during the Christmas holidays, and that's better than not reading them at all. But why only nibble on God's Word when Jesus daily invites us to dine on it? See John 21, verse 12. Taking time to read and meditate on the Christmas stories throughout the Christmas season will be its own reward. It's a gift you can give to yourself and to your family and to Jesus. Let's take the time. Again, the article entitled Four Christmas Stories is found on the AFA stand, but also if you'd like a copy, simply email me at jparker@afa.net. Again, at jparker@afa.net. We'll be glad to share the article with you. At this time now, we're going to read from the Gospel of Matthew, chapters 1 and 2. Matthew chapter 1, beginning at verse 1. The book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Abraham begot Isaac. Isaac begot Jacob, and Jacob begot Judah and his brothers. Judah begot Perez and Zerah by Tamar. Perez begot Hezron, and Hezron begot Ram. Ram begot Amminadab. Amminadab begot Nahshon, and Nahshon begot Salmon. Salmon begot Boaz by Rahab. Boaz begot Obed by Ruth. Obed begot Jesse, and Jesse begot David the king. David the king begot Solomon by her who had been the wife of Uriah. Solomon begot Rehoboam. Rehoboam begot Abijah, and Abijah begot Asa. Asa begot Jehoshaphat. Jehoshaphat begot Joram, and Joram begot Uzziah. Uzziah begot Jotham. Jotham begot Ahaz, and Ahaz begot Hezekiah. Hezekiah begot Manasseh. Manasseh begot Ammon, and Ammon begot Josiah. Josiah begot Jeconiah and his brothers about the time they were carried away to Babylon. And after they were brought to Babylon, Jeconiah begot Shealtiel, and Shealtiel begot Zerubbabel. Zerubbabel begot Abiad. Abiad begot Eliakim, and Eliakim begot Azor. Azor begot Zadok. Zadok begot Akim, and Akim begot Eliad. Eliad begot Eleazar. Eleazar begot Mathan, and Mathan begot Jacob, and Jacob begot Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called Christ. So all the generations from Abraham to David are 14 generations. From David until the captivity in Babylon are 14 generations. And from the captivity in Babylon until the Christ are 14 generations. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. So all this was done, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, Behold, the virgin shall be with child, and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. Then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took to him his wife, and did not know her till she had brought forth her firstborn son. And he called his name Jesus. Matthew chapter 2. Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem saying, Where is he who has been born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him. When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. So they said to him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, 'But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod, when he had secretly called the wise men, determined from them what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the young child. And when you have found him, bring back word to me that I may come and worship him also." When they heard the king, they departed, and behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. And when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Then, being divinely warned in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed for their own country another way. Now when they had departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, "Arise, take the young child and his mother, flee to Egypt, and stay there until I bring you word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him." When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed for Egypt, and was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, "Out of Egypt I called my son." Then Herod, when he saw that he was deceived by the wise men, was exceedingly angry, and he sent forth and put to death all the male children who were in Bethlehem and in all its districts, from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he determined from the wise men. Then was fulfilled what was spoken by Jeremiah the prophet, saying, "A voice was heard in Ramah, lamentation, weeping and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children, refusing to be comforted because they are no more." Now when Herod was dead, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, saying, "Arise, take the young child and his mother and go to the land of Israel, for those who sought the young child's life are dead." Then he arose, took the young child and his mother, and came into the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus was reigning over Judea instead of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. And being warned by God in a dream, he turned aside into the region of Galilee. And he came and dwelt in a city called Nazareth, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophets, "He shall be called a Nazarene." Verses 1 through 23, all of Matthew chapter 2. Father, thank you once again for the glorious and the powerful story of Christmas. Thank you for the powerful narratives as found in Matthew chapters 1 and 2. Thank you, Lord, for the witness of every single person that is within the story of Christmas. Father, help every one of us as believers to recognize, Lord, that we too are vessels through which your Holy Spirit desires and will work, as we simply make ourselves to be available vessels through which you can work. Lord, anoint us with a fresh anointing of wisdom and grace to be very much about the work of sharing the gospel and making disciples, obviously during the Christmas season and beyond. Help us to make the most of this season, Lord, shining for the Lord Jesus Christ. And like the wise men, live in such a way that our lives point people to Jesus Christ. Lord, help us to never take this lightly. Help us to recognize, Lord, that there's so many people that are lost, that feel hopeless, that don't know where to go, don't feel like they even know where to turn in life. For every single one of these individuals, you are the answer. Lord, stir us up to recognize, Lord, that the task you've laid upon us is a very important task, a critically important task, and that we shouldn't take it lightly. Help us to make the most of every day, to be good stewards of our time, gifts, and abilities. Help us to maximize the moments of our lives shining for the Lord Jesus Christ. and help us to live in such a way, Lord, that every day our words, our actions, our attitude, the things we say, the things we do, our whole lives will point people to Christ, as well as that we will be vessels through which you can reach and help people, once they're saved, to come to grow and grow strong and vibrant in their walk with the Lord. Fill us all anew with your Spirit. Fill us with your joy and peace. We thank you and we praise you, Lord. Thank you for the privilege of representing Christ, not just during the Christmas season, but all year long. We thank and praise you for this opportunity. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession as we're looking today specifically at the topic, the glorious and grace-filled messages of Christmas. And, of course, on an ongoing basis, we're going to be encouraging you to really take time to read and meditate on the Christmas narratives as found in Matthew chapters 1 and 2 and Luke chapters 1 and 2 with your family, knowing that it's an important exercise for meditation, for spiritual growth and encouragement and joy as well. I hope you'll take time to do that. We'll be right back. Music from Forever Jones, the song Gloria. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. We're looking today at the topic, the glorious and grace-filled messages of Christmas. And we want to encourage you to please be sure and you and your family take time to go all the way through with the Christmas stories as found in Matthew chapters 1 and 2 and Luke chapters 1 and 2 several times during the Christmas season. At this time, I'm going to take a moment to share another article, an article that focuses on messages within Matthew chapter 2 about the wise man. The article is entitled, Walking in the Wisdom of the Wise Man. Again, Walking in the Wisdom of the Wise Man. And if you'd like to get a copy of this article, simply email me at jparker@afa.net. We'd be glad to share it with you. And it begins by sharing some of the scriptures we read just a few moments ago. Matthew chapter 2, beginning at verse 1. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him. When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And assembling all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. They told him, In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it is written by the prophet, And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. Then Herod summoned the wise men secretly and ascertained from them what time the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word that I too may come and worship him. After listening to the king, they went on their way. And behold, the star that they had seen when it rose went before them until it came to rest over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. Then, opening their treasures, they offered him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed to their own country by another way. Again, Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. The story of the wise men coming to visit Christ is a well-known story of Christmas found in the Word of God. Matthew chapters 1 and 2 and Luke chapters 1 and 2 contain the whole Christmas story. A family is wise to take the time to read them all the way through. Doing this and letting the children do most of the reading can be fun and interesting. Also, allowing them to stop and ask all the questions that they may want is also very fruitful. You can learn much and have a lot of fun doing this as a family. Specifically, regarding the story of the wise men, there are a number of great life lessons we can learn from looking at what they did as they sought the King of Kings. One of those lessons is, the wise men knew God, and it seems that they had a close relationship with him. We too are wise to seek to come to know the Lord Jesus Christ personally by inviting him into our hearts to become the Lord and Savior of our lives. Lesson two, and a second lesson, the wise men sought God. They apparently were men of prayer who sought him out in prayer, and they came with the intention of worshiping the Lord. We are, as believers, called to seek God in prayer, praise, and worship daily as a lifestyle. A third lesson we can learn from the wise men. The wise men listened to God. It seems that the Lord spoke to their hearts to let them know the meaning of the bright star in the sky. It also seems that the Lord directed them to go and follow the star as it would lead them to find the Christ. Also, apparently, the Lord guided them in selecting the gifts they would give to Christ and his family. The gifts were prophetic and pointed to some of the great callings upon Christ. Gold is a gift you give to a king. Frankincense is a gift you give to a high priest. And myrrh is a burial ointment. So these are just a few important lessons we can learn from the wise men. We see that the story of the visit of the wise men who came, served, and worshiped Christ is not just a warm, touching story to be read during Christmas. It's a story that can change the life of any faithful disciple of the Lord in powerful and fruitful ways. Finally, seeking and finding the Lord Jesus is a wise pursuit for all people of all times and all places. If you'd like to know Jesus Christ personally, would like to invite him to come into your heart, any person can do that if they so choose. The article, once again, is entitled Walking in the Wisdom of the Wise Men. If you'd like to get a copy of this article, again, it's a tool for discipleship for you and your family or to share with others. Now, keep in mind what we encourage you to do. Email us to get a copy of the article, both to use for you and your family, but then forward it on to other family members and friends and loved ones, fellow church members, and forward them also to people that don't know Christ as well. Amongst other things, it does have a salvation prayer at the end of it. And this is an evangelism tool that you can use to help people come to know Christ during the Christmas season and beyond as well. So again, my email is jparker@afa.net. Again, that's jparker@afa.net. The title of this article, Walking in the Wisdom of the Wise Men. And then finally, then, I want to share with you an article entitled Christmas, Crisis, Pregnancy, and Life. Interwoven into the fabric of the wonderful story of Christmas is this unique truth. Christmas and expecting moms go hand in hand. Yes, pregnancy, and specifically crisis pregnancy, has a precious heartwarming tie to Christmas. How so? Actually, it's pretty obvious. The Christmas story has not just one, but two unusual pregnancies contained within its pages. The specific story within the Christmas story is captured in Luke chapter 1. Two mothers meet, come together, and worship and fellowship with each other. One is a teenage mother that has miraculously conceived by a virgin pregnancy. The other mom is one who would normally be classified as a grand or great grandmother based on her age, yet she's an expecting mom as well. We often see and think of this story as a warm, lovely story full of peace, joy, and grace. And it is such a story. Yet the world then was, in so many ways, a very harsh, cruel, and perilous world to live in. A world where foreign armies occupied Israel. A world where kings and nations sometimes killed babies in large numbers. And a world where jealousy and disloyalty abounded. Actually, it sounds a lot like the world we live in today. Our world is one where children can legally be killed from conception right up until the moment of delivery. And governments not only do not oppose this, they often finance the carrying out of these tragedies. And often, so-called quote-unquote experts advise for all sorts of foolish and trivial or misguided reasons women to end the lives of their babies in the womb. And time again, the women are advised to terminate their children based on the quote-unquote wisdom or so-called insight of these experts. All the while, the counsel and clear guidance from God's word is clear. You shall not murder, Exodus 20:13. God's word is our guidebook for life. His word will never lead us to make a bad decision or an unwise decision. God himself is wisdom. So we need to stand on the wisdom of God's word, which will always lead to blessing, grace, and fulfillment. The word of God also says, choose life that both you and your descendants may live. In looking at the beautiful and grace-filled story of Christmas, let's consider a what-if scenario. In seeking to bring together the world at the time of the first Christmas and today with our culture and perspective, let's look at what if. Dr. Johann eyed his young patient long and hard. Young Miss Mary, you are just a teenager. You're not even fully an adult. You really need to think this through. It simply would not be wise to keep this baby. You are not married. You do not know how to tell your betrothed that you are pregnant. And you are just a child yourself. Child, you must listen to wisdom. If you keep this baby, your betrothed will surely divorce you. You will be a single mother and you will be poor. You will be a poor single mother. No one will want you. You will end up all alone and die in poverty. And no one will ever remember your name. And your child will surely amount to nothing. And no one will ever remember his name either. You must not keep this child. Trust me, I'm a doctor. And we know all about matters like this. Be reasonable. You and the rest of the world will be so much better off if we just quietly do away with this baby. What do you say? Mary's response, good day, doctor. I'm keeping my baby. Well, mark my words, young lady. You and your baby will never amount to anything, and no one will ever remember your names. Well, for time reasons, we're going to cut it short. Didn't quite finish the article, but the title of the article is Christmas, Crisis, Pregnancy, and Life. If you'd like to get a copy, simply email us at jparker@afa.net. We'll be glad to send it to you. Again, jparker@afa.net. The article title, Christmas, Crisis, Pregnancy, and Life. Well, as usual, before we end the broadcast, if you're listening today and you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, today is a great day, a wonderful day to commit your life to Christ and fully place your life in the Lord's hands. If you'd like to commit your life to Jesus and ask Him to come into your heart as your Lord and Savior today, would you simply pray this prayer with me? Lord Jesus, thank you for loving me so much that you came to this world a long time ago. You lived, you died on the cross to pay for my sins. 3 days later, you rose up from the dead so that I could be saved. Lord, I confess I've sinned and done wrong in many ways. Lord, I repent and turn from the wrong I've done. Forgive me, Lord, for all the wrong things I've done. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Be my Lord and Savior. Make me the person you want me to be. You told us in your word, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Right now, Lord, I'm calling on your name. Lord, save me. Fill me with your Spirit. Help me to follow you. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, if you prayed that prayer for the first time, we invite you to email me at jparker@afa.net. Again, that's jparker@afa.net. We'd like to share with you some resources that'll help you to begin to grow and grow strong in your new walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. We've been looking today at the topic, the glorious and grace-filled messages of Christmas. Thanks for listening. Join us again next time for the Hour of Intercession.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.